will note that we do have a quorum just barely here. Bill has just stepped out. We are expecting, well, now we have more than a quorum. So if I could ask for a roll call of attendees here, I would appreciate it. Why don't we start down with Mr. Whitbeck?
John Whitbeck.
At large.
Don Walker, Catoctin.
Woody Turner.
Tom Julia, at large.
Scott Hamburger, Ashburn.
Cliff Pierce, Broad Run.
Tanya Matthews, at large.
And we'll acknowledge that Mr. Soltis is here as well as a at-large attendee. And Julie, I would just ask the other members to come in before the interview. We're going to begin, ladies and gentlemen, with a public input session tonight. The first time we're doing this, in part because, and I guess in hindsight, that this was a good idea, following the model that the Board of Supervisors uses. We do intend to stay with about 15 minutes of public input, and much like the Board of Supervisors, it is public input. You are here to speak to any subject you wish to. We'll agree to an amount of time. I see three individuals have signed up. I'll speak to you in a moment. But much as the Board of Supervisors, this is not a dialogue with the members of the Commission. We'd ask you to present issues to the extent that there are issues on our agenda or might be on our agenda that would bear on anything that you're going to speak to. We will take them up in the course of the agenda, but we won't use this as a dialogue on any particular item. So I'd ask you to try to make your case, in particular make it as relevant to anything that's either been on our plate, is on our plate, or might be on our plate. I do see three individuals here, James, Lorraine, and Bill. Are you all here? You're all here to speak? Is there anybody else here to speak that wishes to speak? Then I would say, why don't we do this? We'll give you, why don't we make it, let's say, I'm not going to stop you cold. There's no red lights here or anything like that. Why don't we try for 4 minutes each, and to the extent that there's anybody else that feels compelled to speak or comes in, why don't you go ahead and do so? So with that, James Dunnigan, can I ask you to speak first? Thank you. And if you mind, yes, please, that's perfect. And just identify yourself and your affiliation.
Good evening. My name is Jim Dunnigan, the volunteer fire chief at Nearsville. I want to thank you for your time this evening. The west end of Loudoun County has, I believe, 13 volunteer companies providing fire and ambulance services to the rural population. Volunteer companies represent about $6 million of the county budget of $60 million for fire and rescue. There have always been differences between these volunteer companies in the rural west and the companies in the suburban east of the county. Nearsville is not a Sterling. We don't have fire hydrants, so we need additional equipment to put out fires, and our ambulances have to travel further for service. Ironically, the Nearsville Volunteer Fire and Rescue Company is one of the very few volunteer companies who are in sync with the Fire and Rescue Commission's views on volunteers being supplemental to career staff for the 24/7 career staff stations. As the county grows, it is inevitable that most of these volunteer companies will transition to career companies supplemented by the volunteers. The volunteers in the rural west end of the county provide a link between career staff and the community. The members of Company 16 know their neighbors. We know who was on chemo, who was on hospice care, who was about to have a baby, who was struggling with other medical issues, and the elderly who live alone. We convey this information to our career staff by simply letting them know that so-and-so might need checking in on, we might get a call, or so-and-so is not doing well. The career staff rotates throughout the different companies on a fairly regular basis. Some of these men and women adopt the community they are assigned to. The others seek this as a job, a paycheck, and never extend the personal touch or interest in the community. Without the volunteers, there would be no link to the community, no investment opportunity for the career staff, and a loss of spirit in which we serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Jim. Next, Lorraine Lecklider.
Hi, I'm the rescue chief out at Nearsville. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I've read the documents and listened to the audios of the recommendations that are put forth to dissolve our company. And I understand there's been limited knowledge of the committee as to the fire and rescue information, and the information you've been given would justify the recommendations that you made. However, not all the statements that were made were accurate or unique to Nearsville. You were told that we don't have an ALS, we're not an ALS facility and haven't been since 2000. There are two or three other companies that are not ALS facilities. The county owns our ambulance that is housed at Company 16. We have no ALS providers. There's absolutely no reason for us to be an ALS facility. We have members that also belong to personal rescue. Well, all but two or three of the companies in this county have dual members. Personal rescue has members that run with Percival Fire, Leesburg Fire, Sterling Fire. Middleburg's Medic is also a member of Arcola. Philemont's Medic is a member of Percival Rescue. The list of volunteers within the system that hold dual membership is long. It's not unique to Nearsville. Less than 20 effective members has been interpreted to mean operational members. That's not what the code says. However the code is interpreted, our membership numbers is not unique to Loudoun County. There are a few Weston companies that have a handful more. There's a couple that have less. From the subcommittee to audio, you were told that they are not providing services in any measurable way that would jeopardize the community because they're not participating in training and things like that. From 2006 to 2012, our members have accumulated over 150 Loudoun County required training certificates. If you count the ones that are not required, the CEs we take online, the extra FEMA classes, and the ones that we just, the county offers that are just, you know, if you want to take an injury reporting and things like that, we have close to 250 certificates that we can show you from our members. So we have been trained. In the past year, we have received six VIP awards from Loudoun County Recruitment and Retention Committee that recognizes volunteer services. Four of those were for operational members and two for administrative members, which would not be considered effective members if you interpret this the way it's been interpreted as operational members, yet they have received awards. All this information can be taken from what we have, or you can go to the Loudoun County Volunteer Coordinator's Office, and they can give you all of this. It's public knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bill Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members of this committee. Let's start with a premise that we can all...
Might I ask you just to identify your affiliation?
Yes, my affiliation, I am the spokesperson for Nearsville Volunteer Fire.
Okay.
Let's start with a premise we can all agree on. That volunteer fire and rescue companies provide the county with equipment, stations, and trained personnel, and we should not discourage this. As the county's fire and rescue services become more professional, there are bound to be tensions. However, other counties, and I was up in Frederick just last week to their meeting, other counties, like Frederick, have these same issues, and the professional and volunteer components in the system work through these issues in the spirit of cooperation and civility. There's no reason why this can't happen here. We heard you loud and clear about the schools at the last Board of Supervisors meeting and how difficult it is to do your job in a vacuum. We agree. And we're here to cooperate. Provide information. It seems that this committee has gotten a lot of information, some of which is erroneous, and much of which was out of context. We need a meeting so this committee can understand how we got to where we are. No one has heard Nearsville's side of the story except the previous Board of Supervisors, who were instrumental in giving Nearsville its current status. Now, at this meeting, we would think to do a 20-minute presentation followed by a Q&A session in which all your questions are answered with supporting evidence from the public record. I'm confident that you'll agree that the Board of Supervisors was correct in 2006. You will also learn more about the volunteer professional issues and the west end of the county. In the meantime, we're asking that you place the recommendation of this committee to disband Nearsville on hold in the name of fairness. And we would also like to request access to the information on which your recommendation is based so that we may anticipate your questions. We'll be glad to pay any copying costs or stuff like that. We just want to provide information to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak to the commission on this topic or any other topic? In that case, I thank all of you for your time, and we'll go ahead and begin the regular order of business. I would say that if any of these comments that were made this evening bear on any item that we're going to bring up in the course of the meeting, members of the commission should certainly feel free to reference these comments as we discuss fire and rescue issues generally or specifically near. So with that, let's move to item 3, approval of our December 20th meeting summary, which you all received by email. And I would ask everybody to review it, and then a motion to approve as drafted.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Whitbeck, second by Mr. Hamburger. Any discussion? All those in favor? Signify aye. Opposed? We will adopt those.
I sent a couple edits.
Oh, you did? Excuse me.
Just trying to find the page.
Okay. I should have known better, Chris.
Well, I just want to clarify.
Always catches the edits.
Page 3.
All right, okay.
Third paragraph. I just want to clear up when I read the first sentence. It says, Chairman Julia made a motion to reconsider the commissioner's vote on recommendation 8. Mr. Whitbeck moved to reconsider recommendation 8. So was it meant that you asked for a motion
I
to reconsider?
I would not have made a motion. Correct.
Page 4.
That should be commission's vote. Okay, commission's vote.
Page 4, fourth paragraph, very last sentence. And the sentence reads, at this juncture, the LCPS board must make its own conclusion as to whether LCPS staff has met that the standard. I think the should be omitted.
Bottom of page 4?
Third paragraph, second, 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph. Last sentence, I think the word the just needs to be struck.
Thank you.
Correct. The word that.
That or the, which has met that. Okay, and then the paragraph below that, and again the fourth line from the bottom, I think the word should be formally, not formerly.
Good catch. Spell check doesn't catch that. Okay, good.
That's all I have.
Excellent. Well, if we could, if I might ask the commission just to accept those friendly amendments to our motion and second, we will go ahead and vote on these changes as revised. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, with those amendments, those will be our official notice of our December meeting. Let's move ahead to items 4 and 5, which we're going to kind of connect here because they really are very much connected. And I'm going to just treat this as an update and a review. Many of you attended one or both of these meetings, so I don't want to repeat incessantly. However, for the record, I want to acknowledge that we did attend and participate in the January 8th meeting of the Finance and Government Services and Operation Committee. We were asked as members of the commission to speak to that committee on various items referred to the committee, specifically adult daycare, Loudoun Water, and the recommendations on fire and rescue, including the recommendation on Nearsville. We acknowledged at the time we were still working on the larger issue of funding for the combined system, and that we were not prepared to speak to that, but would be hopefully in short order. I want to acknowledge the participation and very excellent participation of Scott, of Bob, of Tanya, of Mark, and Woody. I really, it felt very much like a team effort. Everybody, I could tell you, was both at that meeting as well as the Board of Supervisors meeting. I know we're very very impressed with the preparation of members of the commission, and I'm certainly very proud of this team. They accepted most of our recommendations. There were a few nuances which certainly came up, and I'll refer to the meeting on the January 16th as well. There were some nuances to some of our recommendations. For example, on adult daycare, they did not completely accept the recommendation relative to changing the criteria for which one qualifies. But by and large, I think it's a fair statement that almost in its entirety, our recommendations were accepted regarding these topics. I will call out again an issue that came up relative to Loudoun Water, and I guess we'll know at the meeting of the board on February 6th what they decide to do with it. We had made a statement that and we had actually appealed to the Board of Supervisors that they not fill those positions, those vacant positions, or the ones that are up for renewal on Loudoun Water until they had actually completed some sort of a criteria discussion and indeed some sort of a public vetting process, because indeed, if in fact those positions are immediately nominated and filled, regardless of the merits of the individuals, without any public vetting or any advertising of that, our view would be that goes against the transparency, the very transparency that we had called for. We did have an item come up with respect to adult daycare. And Woody, if I might just ask you if you could maybe characterize the specific issue relative to the percentage that was at issue there.
Yeah, well, the information that was provided to us, which we relied on, was reversed. And that's been corrected by the new report. I'll let Julie deal with that when the time comes.
The corrected report is that the report will be corrected as the item goes to the Board of Supervisors for action at their next meeting. I'll also correct the GR, issue a corrected version of the GRC's report and distribute that to you all.
Thank you. Thank you. And my understanding of that again, as just to reiterate that the correction to our memo will be part of the board packet for February 6th. We also, and I'm going to just move ahead here and ask Mr. Hamburger to join me on this, we also made a presentation on January 16th to the full board, reiterating many of these same issues in a more general sense, and we prepared a memoranda which updated our June 2012 memoranda to the board, which reviewed the mission statement, the structure, the participation, the number of meetings, the committee efforts. And we had, I think, a total of 13 different items on here relative to items we've either completed work on, we're doing work on, or have yet to do work on. We closed that session with a request of the Board of Supervisors to give us a little bit of guidance for where we go in 2013 in terms of issues already on our plate and new issues. And I'm going to come back to a couple of items here in particular. Mr. Hamburg, I'm going to ask you to speak to the Veneersville discussion at that meeting. So I'll tee you up on that, Scott, for sure, in a moment here. But I do want to close by saying, because we have it on our agenda for later this evening, that the board did consider specifically several items on our agenda, one of which is Inspector General. We are asked to continue to look at that issue. I can't say that there was a exceedingly effusive support for that from the board. I didn't feel that, but I think they certainly want us to continue to look at that issue. They did actually put a motion on the table asking us not to look at form of government as an appropriate issue to look at this time. They did, however, put on the table a request that we look at the issue of fees, the very issue in adult daycare that they did not at this point support. They want us to go back and look at the way these things are funded, not just adult daycare, but other services, schools, preschool and after school care was called out. We'll talk about it a little bit in under the subcommittee one report, ladies and gentlemen. But I, not having attended that meeting last week, it was reported to me that there was some discussion of having a very expansive view of what that charge was from the board. I've tried to communicate with Chairman York today to get clarification on that. It is my belief that that was not an expansive charge from the board and that they didn't want us to look at every single fee, planning and zoning permits and everything that the county was doing. It was very much linked to places where there's a subsidy involved, and indeed there might indeed be an existing or potential private sector role here where in effect the county is competing and possibly even subsidizing a service where the private sector can provide the corresponding service. Moreover, where somebody of means could take the benefit of such a service without any test in terms of income and indeed take advantage of a subsidized county service that indeed the private sector could be provided, and this individual or family could or should be perhaps looking at the free market and not at a subsidized county service. So until I have complete clarification from Chairman York on that, I'm happy to discuss this under Subcommittee 1, but my sense of this is that the board is looking for a narrower scope of work for us, and frankly, I also would support that. I think this is actually a very challenging area for us to get into. It's going to be highly sensitive, and I would prefer if indeed we're looking to put the work of our commission together and get completed by May or June of this year, we ought to try to take a tighter and narrower focus rather than looking at every single fee the county charges.
Mr. Julian,
yes.
Do you want me to speak to what
Please.
We discussed?
Please. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Mr. Chairman York was actually pretty emphatic, and at one point Supervisor Reed had said, do you mean all fees, Chairman York? And Chairman York said, yes, ALL means all fees. So the charge from the dais was actually fairly broad. In our discussion of last week, however, under the excellent advice of Mr. Hemstreet, he pointed out that the fees with respect to the zoning process and the planning process are regularly looked at. And indeed, a separate commission had already been convened by the board specifically to look at zoning and planning issues, and they had already made recommendations in this regard. Therefore, we took that entire area of fees and knocked it right off the table as being outside the scope of our work. So the next charge, we discussed the idea of subsidies. And Don made a very good point about some indirect subsidies that could pertain to cost structures that are actually legacy cost structures and subsidies from the Commonwealth. But where we left it was that Mr. Hemstreet and Ms. Granfield were going to put together a list of the programs that have a fee structure and including those which are a subsidy of one type or another. So we could then look at that universe and decide which ones made sense for us to tackle. But totally agree, the plan and zoning do not bear off the table.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. I've got that clarification.
Anyone who was at the subcommittee want to comment on that? Anything I missed? Okay, very good.
I want to, particularly given the folks that have come to visit with us tonight, I wanted to address the comments that we made and the dialogue that we had with members of the Board of Supervisors with respect to Nearsville. And I'm going to ask Mr. Hamburger to comment a little bit on both the purpose of what our inquiry was and really the status of our recommendation. I just want to say as a starting point, I think everybody around this table and everybody who's not here is highly respectful and highly sensitive and highly interested in supporting the volunteer firefighters and emergency service workers of Loudoun County. And I mean that with great sincerity. We completely respect what you've done, what you continue to do for this community. This is not and never has been, never will be in any way disrespectful of what you do. In fact, our inquiries, not just about Nearsville, about the system as a whole, I would say have revealed to us an unsustainable situation, and actually a very bad situation whereby, as I like to keep saying, it's a broken record, the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and largely it's the Western companies. As was stated here in public comment, we are very well aware that there are other companies that are exceedingly stressed, and that indeed until and unless there are some changes in both the governance as well as the funding formulas as well as the incentives for attraction and retention of volunteers, we very well could be looking at many more situations that are where we create indeed a dire situation for volunteer companies. So none of this is lost on us. We certainly don't believe that Nearsville is a unique situation. However, what we did inherit was a number of recommendations and a history that we read over of a multi-year situation with Nearsville, and indeed conversations that we had with the chairman of the Fire and Rescue Commission, the deputy county administrator, the county administrator, the fire chief, all of whom I would say would be key parties to validate the information that was provided to us. And certainly we have every reason to respect the items that they said to us, both individually as well as in meetings of this commission and its subcommittee. We also had in front of us a proposal from two members of the Board of Supervisors to, in fact, actually almost compel us to take a position on this because indeed it was put out there at a time before we even had a chance to look at everything connected with this the combined system. So we in fact I would argue just the opposite of what has been said, that we intervened, felt compelled to intervene in the Nearsville matter because a proposal was put forward for action by the Board of Supervisors that was exactly aligned with the kind of inquiry that we were making, and we were there compelled, I believe, to in fact take a position relative to that proposal. The matter at this point does stand before the Board of Supervisors. I do personally appreciate the interest in having continued meetings. My view on this personally is that until and unless the Board of Supervisors would ask us to reconsider the matter, this matter has been forwarded by us to the Board of Supervisors several months ago, is gone to one board meeting, has gone to a Finance Committee meeting, and is now gone to the full board. So unless the board itself asked us to revisit this or any aspect of this, I personally would not see the purpose of us entertaining the issue again. So I will, if I may, turn this over to Mr. Hamburger, Vice Chairman Hamburger, to talk a little bit more about the discussion we had at that January 16th meeting, and maybe you could kind of characterize the give and take there, Scott, for the commission.
Sure. I would actually say that the discussion at the full board meeting was a little less pointed than the discussion at the committee meeting, where we originally had poured out the recommendation. There was quite a bit of back and forth. No doubt that there were some pointed opposition from the dais, from a couple of supervisors, and you know, no doubt there were some very strong feelings and very strong opinions on the matter. We continue to characterize our position, our recommendation, as being a matter of governance and governance of the fire and rescue system, as opposed to relitigation of the particular issues that have arisen between Nearsville and the Fire and Rescue Commission itself, which in our view are largely a matter of settled history that we are not seeking to reopen and to relitigate. So we emphasize the fact that our recommendation is a function of the governance of the system, and what we believe is in the best long-term interest of establishing the best safety for the citizens of Loudoun County. That was essentially the substance of our presentation. There was commentary from the dais that said to the contrary.
Any comments or questions from members of the commission about either of these two presentations? Those of you who attended or participated, Tanya, Woody, or any questions about the outcome of that discussion?
I appreciate y'all coming tonight, and I hope you understand that we moved to reconsider it again last time. I moved to reconsider it last time, but it really is with the Board of Supervisors, right?
Because it is, and is referred for action at the meeting.
Right. I don't want you to feel like you're coming here and just speaking that people aren't going to do anything. But we have kicked it over to the Board of Supervisors because they're the ones that make the decision. So making public comment with us, although I am persuaded by what you say, the motion to reconsider failed that I made. And so now we're, you do need to go to the Board of Supervisors to have your voice heard there, because we're not going to take any further action. Was that clear from Chairman? Okay, all right. I just want to make that clear, because they're here again for the second time expressing their opinions, and I feel like we keep giving them mixed messages about what we can really do. So now I just want to make sure they were clear that they knew that. So.
The three items that our items that come to board at their meeting on February 6th are adult daycare with the corrected recommendation. A corrected memo and a slightly different recommendation coming out of the Finance Committee. Number one, number two, Loudoun Water, where I believe they had accepted all of our recommendations. If I might ask for clarification, Julie, is that the meeting at which they will vote on the appointees to the Loudoun Water Board? Okay. Are you aware of any new appointees since our last discussion?
The board received a new letter of interest that was just today. It's been circulated to the board, but that individual has not been nominated.
Tom? Question, yes.
If I may, on Loudoun Water, on January 8th, I think that the Finance Committee approved all our recommendations unanimously, except the review of zoning, which was sent to the Transportation and Land Use Committee. Right? Did that come out of the committee and go back to the board?
That was accepted also. In other words, that was a recommendation. They just sent it to a different place. It's going from Finance to the board, then it'll go to Transportation Land Use. I know it's kicks around, but
thank you.
It was also accepted.
Mr. Jordan. Yes, sir.
I know we have previously dealt with this and brought it up a second time, but we previously on this board dealt with areas we consider to be appearance. We couldn't necessarily find something wrong, but we thought the public appearance of something that might be wrong, therefore we should take action. For example, the Commissioner of Revenue / Tax Assessor's Office to be combined on that apparent situation. Audits for fire departments. We experienced that considering what happened out in Middleburg. So we've dealt with this apparent situation. In the interest of appearance, we should address this same thing as it relates to Nearsville. And the further we advance with Nearsville, or in this case, the final stages of Nearsville recommendations, the more we learn we don't know. We have not received any input from them prior to the actions that we took. All our actions we took without really them having any input. Now, I've heard the arguments that it's out there on the county's website, you know, the public, you know, it's there for the public to know. We have our meetings, we get together and so forth. We've got over 330,000 people in this county. It's no shock to anybody that that's probably well over 300,000 that's never heard of us and has no clue what we do. So I can't hold that against Nearsville for not knowing we were here prior to any actions we took. And out of respect for the Volunteer Fire and Rescue, I think that what Bill Hartig, I believe his name was, said to us about a meeting with them, yeah, it's backing up. But I think that, you know, out of the interest of appearance that we're being fair to anything we're dealing with, we ought to consider that and let this man come in and let the Volunteer Fire come in and make their recommendations. And in the best interest and safety of our citizens, and that's what we're dealing with here, now demands, I think, that we ask for time from the BOS to consider what we've recommended to them. So I personally feel that we are taking the wrong approach. The more press comes out, the stinkier this whole thing gets, and it's looking at us as if we acted and we're not interested in what they have to say or what they do. It's all after the fact now. I think that's a big mistake, and I know we brought it up once before for a motion, and it failed on that second motion. I feel compelled myself to say I think we should bring it again up. I don't want to take the approach that God has spoken, so therefore that's the final word on it, because it isn't. But I think we should bring it up again and reconsider telling the Board of Supervisors that we want more time to look at this and put our recommendations on hold until we receive that.
I respect your comment, Mr. Walker. I have to also respectfully disagree. I am very proud of the work that we have done on this particular issue and on fire rescue generally. I think we've exercised due care, due diligence. We have communicated with key stakeholders. We haven't in any single issue communicated with every single individual we could possibly communicate with. We have taken a history as documents provided to us as guiding documents, but quite frankly, I think Mr. Hamburger states it correctly. This is a forward-looking exercise. This is about the future of the county. This is about public safety first and foremost. I am very proud of the work that the members of this commission have done on this issue. I think we've explored it for over 6 months. There have been plenty of opportunities for any individual or any organization to speak with us, to meet with us, and so forth. That's not to say that one could always do more. One can always do more, Don. I certainly appreciate that we could do more on any of these issues. But there's been significant public dialogue on this, and I would actually say that what you characterize as some stinky questions being raised, I would suggest that some of this is demagoguing the issue, and in fact distorting facts and distorting the actions of this commission as though somehow we were trying to act in a way that wasn't in the public interest. I believe we've been acting in the public interest. We've tried to air these issues. It is now before the Board of Supervisors. I do believe that the board item being teed up for the Board of Supervisors includes a very comprehensive history and discussion, analysis of all the very questions that, indeed, I suspect the members of the Nearsville Company would like to have raised. I believe the county administrator and his deputy are indeed preparing that kind of documentation. So I believe now it is, as Mr. Whitbeck said, in the right forum, Don, where it will be reviewed by the Board of Supervisors. And I'll be first to say this, Don, if the board feels that there remain significant questions and that they reject our recommendation or want us to do further work on it, we will take the directive of the board and we'll do further work on it. But I see no reason for us to reconsider it at this time. At this time, I would just entertain any other questions on the Nearsville matter. Questions or comments from members of the commission? Mr. Whitman.
I would just note that at least one supervisor made a very strong comment criticizing our recommendation. I thought it was, I strongly disagree with it, but I would note that they did not ask us to reconsider it. Despite their comments, whatever they may be, I thought it was very telling that they would criticize the recommendation. This is one supervisor, and then not ask us to do anything about it. So it's now Robert's Rules of Order would require somebody who was on the winning side to move to reconsider, or it's really out of order to even discuss it. The motion to reconsider was made, it was voted on, it was denied. This commission has no further action to take whatsoever on this issue, unless somebody makes a motion. So I think we should move forward. This is the only recommendation that we've even looked backward on. So I think we can get on with the business of the commission and not continue to dwell on this. This is the third meeting in a row we've dwelled on this. And I just don't think it's productive. So I think it's ready to move on. Despite my own personal wish we had reconsider it, let's move on. So I think we should do that.
Mr. Pierce.
My only final comment is, when the subject first came up, I asked, why are we looking at a very specific company? And the way it was explained to me was that the Board of Supervisors asked us to look at this issue. So that means the board is very well aware that you're looking at this issue. And Don, I agree with you that saying, well, you know, we're a public body, you should know about it, doesn't really fly with me either. But it was pretty clear after our recommendation that two members of the board were very upset with our recommendation, yet they knew we were looking at this. If they were that concerned about this issue, I would have thought they would have reached out to the Nearsville folks and said, hey, we have a commission that's looking at this. They're talking about your company. You might want to get involved. So the fact that they didn't even take the step, or I don't know what happened, but that fact leads me to believe the opportunity for them to be heard was there. The board could have let them know. So I don't think that we took action without the ability for them to have been heard.
Ms. Muncy.
One of my questions was answered by Mr. Whitbeck's comments, but the only thing I would say in your concerns regarding the issue of why no one ever came to us, it was my understanding from the last meeting from Supervisor Higgins' presentation to us that he and perhaps also Supervisor Clark have been working with the company for some time. The work was ongoing at the time when we received the request to look at this issue as a separate issue. So I would have to concur with you if at least two supervisors were aware of the issue and working on it, apparently preceding our being directed to look at it, not only as part of a larger fire and rescue review, but as the specific motion by one of those two supervisors. It would behoove them to have made the process they were engaged in a part of our process, or to have directed us through their body by moving it and winning a vote on it to remove it from our work table. So While I regret that they were not involved with us during the process, they were involved with their supervisors. We addressed the issue. It is no longer on our table.
Is it within Robert's Rules of Order, am I allowed to bring that back up for reconsideration, or since I was the dissenting vote?
Because you have to be on the winning side
of the vote
to be able to move to reconsider.
And I'm actually going to rule that out of order. We have made final recommendations. The board has actually accepted those, moved them to main meeting, moved them to finance committee, and now moved them actually to TWA vote. So actually, I would rule this as an out-of-order motion in any respect.
Well, it was already made and voted down, so it's already been moved. I already moved to reconsider. It was voted down. I think that's it. I think you can't keep reconsidering over and over and over again, I don't think. So
if I may summarize, the meeting on the 6th is an important meeting for the commission and for the recommendations. The fire and rescue matters will be on the table. The Nearsville matter specifically will be on the table. Loudoun Water will be on the table, including the nominations of, I believe, now up to four people for two slots on the Loudoun Water board. And then finally, adult daycare will be on the table at that meeting. I don't know that we have a speaking role at that meeting, Julie.
I don't believe so. I think we would like you to have case questions. If I could just go back to Loudoun Water, I believe there have been three individuals nominated. There was a fourth expression of interest.
Okay, that's what I was referring to. Fourth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's only three for two seats.
Okay. Excellent. I would acknowledge that there was a little bit of discussion, particularly coming from Supervisor Delgadio, taking issue with the criteria we suggested for qualifications or guidance as to qualifications for Loudoun Water. It was not a prevailing view from the Finance Committee. However, he did raise the issue, and I have seen some subsequent communications talking about the need for citizen representation on Loudoun Water and the need for representation of individuals who would be cognizant of cutting spending and so forth and so on. And with due respect to Supervisor Delgado, who I've known for 25 years, I would say everybody who's an engineer, a banker, a Joe citizen, a farmer, or anything else is a citizen of Loudoun County. So I think it's unfortunate that he's trying to really distinguish why one citizen is more qualified to serve on Loudoun Water than another. Moreover, I would suggest, and I would certainly, I think that's the tenor of our recommendations, Tanya and others who put these together, that our objective is here is not to have fixed criteria that you have to have X degree, X number of years of this or that to serve on Loudoun Water. Our concern here is that this not become a politicized animal where it's a place to send former supervisors or former political campaign workers, because indeed you're running a significant corporation with significant financial responsibilities, operational management responsibilities, and they're operating, as we've said over and over, with even more independence than a public utility. In fact, quite independent, almost to the extent of being rogue. So I think the recommendations we've made are very sound. I hope those are embraced by the board, and I hope that the board looks at these nominees in a way that and votes in those individuals who will be, I think, act in a manner that's consistent with the recommendations that we've made. I plan to be there on the 6th. I would just ask anybody at the table, anybody can be there on the 6th.
4 p.m.
4 p.m. 4 p.m.
Thank you. I plan to attend.
Okay. Particularly any of you who worked on these issues. Woody, I don't know.
Probably.
Okay. Excellent. Good. Scott, I don't know if you can make it.
I'm going to try.
Excellent. Okay. And Mr. Gordon, I know, is on his way tonight, so perhaps he can be there as well. I want to not mention economic development just yet. I'll bring it up under subcommittee two, because that's coming up actually tomorrow. So with that, and unless there's any other commentary on the two meetings this month, we've had a very busy month between two appearances before the board and our two subcommittee meetings and this meeting. That makes five meetings this month. So quite a way to start the year. Let's move to subcommittee two matters. Tanya, if I might ask you to take that with Bob not here.
Yes. On fire and rescue funding, Woody, unless you're prepared to speak on that, I think we need to table that until Bob arrives. Okay, so if we could hold on to that particular portion, and then I'd like to ask Bill if you take the lead on this. Yes.
Before we get to that, can I want to raise one issue relative to that with the full commission here. The discussion at the last subcommittee meeting was around two items.
And Tanya wanted to table it until Bob got here.
Oh, till he got here. Okay.
Right.
Okay, till he got here?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You okay with that?
Perfect. Yes, till he gets here. Yes, because okay. I wanted to come back to one item that the board's asked us to address. Okay.
On fire and rescue?
On the funding, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I'd like to wait until Bob gets here. He's our resident expert on that topic.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, continue on to the second topic, which is Inspector General. One of our two newest members has taken the lead on this, and we're very thankful for that. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Bill Sullivan.
Thank you very much, Tanya. When Bob first called me and asked me to check out the...
Wow.
That wasn't me.
I was immediately. I apologize.
As long as the music is good, it's okay.
We all checked our phones. That's one of my daughter's rings, so I knew that was mine was a problem. Anyway, when Bob first called me and asked me to check out the idea of an inspector general, I started off checking it out on the internet. I saw the federal inspector general, state inspector general, and I found several counties that have an office of inspector general. And I wanted to see what these guys do, what their purpose is, what they're all about. And I found several counties that have an office of inspector general. A lot of them in Florida. Found a great website for the Palm Beach County, Miami-Dade, Briar County, and all kind of information on that. They're in Cleveland, Ohio. Here's an interesting comment from the mission statement for the Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, the Office of the Inspector General. It's no longer business as usual in Cuyahoga County. So it leads me to believe that whatever prompted the creation of Inspector General office in that area was a problem. Sacramento, Montgomery County, I'll get into that in just a minute. So anyway, I did a lot of research on all those, and then so I reported that at our last meeting. And my fellow commissioners said, well, Bill, that's interesting, but in Virginia, what kind of legislation is there about creating an Office of Inspector General? What does this person do? So I did a lot of research on county inspector generals in Inspectors General in Virginia, and I didn't find any counties. Maybe there's some that exist, but I didn't see anything on the web. So I checked out the Code of Virginia, and I found the powers and duties of the inspector of the state inspector general. Just a copy for you, and if you pass these around, and you can see what the legislation is that created the State Office of Inspector General. And I highlighted a few words on this, and one thing that I've seen that is very consistent in every one of these websites are four words: fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. Fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption. And that seems to be the main focus of what an inspector general does. And then I looked more specifically at a county to see really what they do. And on that, one of the best websites is Montgomery County, Maryland. And I'm passing around their website for the Montgomery County of the Office of the Inspector General. And again, right at the top, who we are and what we do: prevent and detect fraud, waste, and abuse in government activities. You'll see that in just a second. You know, personally, some of the people say, well, what do you think? Should we have an inspector general? Well, of those four words, fraud, corruption, and abuse, Fraud, abuse, and corruption, I've never thought we had a lot of in Loudoun County, to be honest with you. I've dealt with the county a long time, and we're not Cleveland. We're not Chicago. I think we're a pretty clean county. Abuse, maybe duplication, waste, maybe that's the thing. You know, we had talked before about some of the frustration, and again, I'm a new member, but I've heard some of the frustration in are we getting the cooperation we need from the schools? Well, what's interesting here, in the Montgomery County legislation, I didn't make copies of all that because it's kind of long, but in the legislation for Montgomery County, it says that the Office of the Inspector General has jurisdiction over independent county agencies and has a definition section. Definition of independent county agency means, number one, county board of education and the county school system. And then it lists a whole bunch of other independent county agencies. But food for thought. If we, as a county, give money to the school board or to the school system, and then we don't know how it's accounted for or don't have any say-so in it, possibility maybe this would be a useful tool. I can do a lot more research, but you have the basics here, what it is in Virginia, what it is in a county, and there's a lot more legislation. So I'm not sure. I think it's worth further consideration. The term watchdog really comes into mind, and it mentions the word watchdog and actually some of these internet websites. So that's what I found. It's an interesting concept, and I'll leave it at that.
Bill, a couple of questions for you, if I may. First, have you looked at it at all, or can we find out whether an inspector general created by the Board of Supervisors would have any would be able to have any powers over the school system, or is there a separation of powers issue? I think that's significant in terms of the inquiry or the reason we might or might not recommend an inspector general. My understanding, and I've certainly not done your research, but a lot of times when you have an inspector general, it's where you have competing elected bodies. So, for example, in Montgomery County, you have an elected county executive who potentially is in competition with an elected county council. Whereas in Loudoun County, you have only the elected board of supervisors. The county administrator works for that body. So that's I think that's the kind of thing we want to look at. And I don't know that that's always the case in every county in Virginia, but I'd like to try to understand what was the reason for creating it. A third consideration, we brought this up on the 16th with the board, is would this be mainly for fiscal reasons? And I think, in talking with some members of county staff, they perhaps have a sense, I don't want to put words in their mouth, that some of the fiscal issues, some of the sort of ordinary fiscal issues are already being addressed within the county system. So I wouldn't necessarily, I agree with you, I don't see corruption in Loudoun County. I've never really seen corruption in Loudoun County. I've been around here a long time. It doesn't mean that that shouldn't be within the purview of the inspector general, a place to go. We have seen recently some issues in this county that, frankly, the county hasn't quite figured out who should handle it. And we now have one of these issues handled by a Commonwealth attorney somewhere else. So I think a case can be made that there may be a role for the inspector general as a watchdog and also as someone to indeed anticipate these kind of issues. An issue on the table is, I think, also what we intend to be the scope of any inspector general. So I'm actually attracted to the broader scope. Finally, I would ask, as you do your inquiry, and again, hearing some of the comments from supervisors last week, a couple of them have been here for a while, harked back to, we had an inspector general and didn't work out all that well. I'd like to understand, as we do our research, why didn't it work out all that well? Was the tension, what didn't work out so well? Because honestly, if there's a predisposition against it for some reason, we ought to know that and we ought to be able to address it. If it didn't work out so well X number of years ago, we should know that and have a way of answering that. And why would it work out better this time? And again, I don't personally know that history, that we had one, and I think in fact Chairman York made that statement and it didn't work out that well. But if you ask me why didn't it work out that well, Julie, I'm not sure why it didn't, but I think a lot of people felt it did.
Well, with that, I had asked Bill if he had a recommendation, and he does not at this point, except to look at it further. And I've had a lot of experience with inspectors general, federal and state level, and in regional transportation agencies, and they have a role to play. Now, when I mentioned at our committee meeting, a recent example in November when we went to an IG for help, Tim Hemstreet told me that if that had occurred in Loudoun County, which was abused by a contracting officer who was employed by the public agency, he said, here you go to the sheriff's department. And I was really surprised because it never struck me, where would you go in Loudoun County for white-collar crime? But I saw Sheriff Chapman and asked him about that. I said, do you do much white-collar crime? Are there reasons for that kind of work in your department? And he said, yes. And I said, would the office of an inspector general be beneficial in your opinion? And he said, probably. And I said, where would you put it? Would it be under the sheriff? And he said, no, you likely wouldn't put it in the sheriff's department because then you wouldn't be able to investigate abuse, fraud, waste, or corruption inside the sheriff's department. So I don't know if it's something that the chairman would appoint, if it would be elected. I don't know how the person gets placed. That's one of the issues that we would need to look at if we go further down this road.
I could meet Mr. Turner first, and then we'll go to Mr. Walker and Mr. Whitbeck.
Yeah, just quickly, you look at some of the commission statements from Montgomery County, review efficiency and effectiveness of programs and operations of county government and independent county-funded agencies. I think that's certainly an appropriate thing for us to do in this county on a regular basis. Maybe we wouldn't have to keep this commission going so long. And to propose ways to increase accountability of government departments and county-funded agencies. I think accountability's, those are things we're doing,
yes,
that could be expanded and perpetuated by someone who had that role.
Yeah, what happens when we're not in place?
Well, hopefully we'll end our tenure sometime.
Just John?
I think it was
Don,
wasn't it? I agree with Bill Sosis there that I don't believe there's a widespread problem in the county either. But I'd also like to temper that with the thoughts that anybody that's really any good at fraud, waste, and all that type of stuff is going to be really hard to catch. So in the interest of fairness to every citizen in this county that's a taxpayer, I think this is another apparent situation that we should have, we should consider this as something to do. And that's quite interesting. Somebody that's really good at that, they're going to be really hard to catch. That's probably, and let's hope they aren't there, and that's why Bill and I haven't seen them.
Do we know that the board has the authority? Is there enabling legislation that says the board has the authority to appoint an inspector general?
Julie, can you help us with this? Because you're a historical perspective, please.
I've just been looking, and I can't find anything that says they have the authority.
And you're looking at the code?
Yeah. I mean, it's a quick review, so I do know.
I'm not so sure that the enabling authority would need to be in the Code of Virginia for the board to appoint, to create and appoint a specific position.
Since we've had at least one, maybe
right,
two.
Only one.
So I imagine we have
there has to be
permission
somewhere
already.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's it has to come out of Richmond or
well,
enabling, how that's been enabled.
Right. Well, let's assume that it doesn't cover the school system. One of the things we could look at is whether to recommend that they include in their General Assembly legislative wish list that they do every year, a request that the enabling legislation, whatever that may be, include the ability of the Inspector General to oversee the school system as well. I would think that considering what is the 80-20 split in the budget, it makes sense to have the Inspector General be able to look at the entire budget and not just, and that's not at all saying that the school district is committing any fraud, waste, abuse, or corruption. In the slightest, I'm just saying that if we're talking about an inspector general looking at the way we do business, it would make sense for them to have the authority to do everything versus just the minority of the budget.
It's a lot of money.
Good point. I think that's actually a critical point that bears on our whole discussions of cooperation with the school system.
Yeah.
I'm just going to reiterate that. I think if you have an inspector general and they have no authority over the school system or the school system has no accountability to them, you're just creating a paper tiger.
Yeah.
This county is where all the money goes, where you need the most oversight, in my opinion, or someone to really look into things. And if you're saying that's off the table,
so perhaps that's an inquiry for the subcommittee, Bill, and for the subcommittee to look at what would it take? Because I suspect right now we don't have that authority. Dan?
So I think the one other key question to research is, does the value justify the cost? Hiring an inspector general is probably not going to be just a single person, so you're talking about a staff, several hundred thousand dollars perhaps, and while we all would like our government to run as efficiently as possible, we have to consider if that would be the primary purpose of an inspector general, will we be able to find sufficient savings to justify the cost of that person on a full-time basis, or is it more of a project-based thing, such as this commission is doing? Is that then the more appropriate way to look at finding the waste, et cetera? So
I'd like to address that question for just a second. That's a good point. And on the front page of the Palm Beach County Office of the Inspector General, they have what's called their OIG dashboard. And they say in the last 2.5 years, they've had 805 correspondences from whatever, county employees, whistleblowers, whatever. They've questioned or identified $8.4 million in costs. And they say they've had cost avoidance of $3.9 million as a result of the Office of the Inspector General. So I'm not sure how they account for that, but this sort is, I think, what they use to justify their existence.
I think for sure if you create an office of the Inspector General, he will find something to inspect. And, you know, we have made the observation in various contexts in this group that government never seems to get smaller, and that when you create a new service or a new program, you know, it's there seemingly for eternity. So that's one caution I would have. I'm not against the idea. I'm simply throwing out a couple of cautions. The second caution I would point out is that I think the office has the potential to become highly politicized. It has the potential to be a political weapon that is being used by adherents of one party against another party, and you know, that happens. And you still get special prosecutors at the federal level, and you can see how that plays out. So that'd be another issue. I think in order to mitigate those two factors, there would have to be a very clear scope of work and a very clear mission for this individual, so that it would preclude going on fishing expeditions simply for the sake of going on fishing expeditions. And I think where the function would be located would be absolutely essential to a quality recommendation if we were to go down that road. There has to be enough independence of the position that it functions as an inspector general, but there have to be some controls in place so that it can't be a position that simply goes amok and causes chaos within the system. And I'd be very curious to know if anyone around the table knows what happened last time. Julie?
In my opinion, there was not a clear, the mission and scope of work were not clearly defined. The position started out, I believe, reporting to the entire board, but it was narrowed down to the chairman of the board and the chair of the head of the finance committee. Again, in my opinion, the scope of work, even when the supervisory role or aspect was narrowed, was not clearly defined. Nor was there specific direction given to the individual as to what to work on or what not to work on.
Was it an appointee by the chairman?
No, it was a classified position, classified employee, appointed by the board, a majority of the board.
Okay.
And originally reported to the full board and then finally reported to the chair and the vice chair.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
how long ago was this?
Oh gosh,
92,
15
maybe.
Years? No. 90. He started at 92 and worked here 5 years, yeah, because I've reported out in the subcommittee.
Who was it?
His name was Bert Schreibstein.
Really?
He did some good work and a couple really, you know, valuable studies on behalf of the board, but there was a hotline established and it just did not get a whole lot of activity. And again, I was looking at the bottom of the Montgomery County information that Bill distributed, and it indicates that there's an advisory group to this IG that sort of plays a role in defining what this position should do. So that was a very good concept for Montgomery to put into place.
I think
it became highly politicized.
And I would observe that our experience with positions reporting directly to the board has not necessarily been the best.
I have the legislation from Montgomery County. It's the Code of Montgomery County, Section 2-151. I'll send everybody the link to this rather than copy five pages for everybody. I'll send it to you. You can see what specifically budget. I see here the county attorney must provide legal services to the inspector general. If he doesn't, there are other reasons why he can go to outside counsel. I mean, it's pretty interesting. So I'll be happy to share that with everybody.
Terrific. So is it the commission's interest for us to continue doing our research on
this? Looking for a sense of the room?
Yes.
It seems to me the sense of the room is this. To
absolutely.
Looking at it. I think it's a fruitful and worthwhile endeavor.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you for everything you've done on this so far.
Thank you.
Good job, Bill.
New contributing member. Thank
That's great. I think Tom is off trying to find Bob to identify when he's going to arrive, so if we could just hold off on the fire and rescue funding until we know and move on to subcommittee one. Would that be okay with you, Scott?
I think it's an excellent recommendation. Let's proceed accordingly.
Thanks.
Mr. Whitbeck, take us through outsourcing.
I think that's my stuff here.
Tree on the table there.
90% exhibits. I don't have much. This was discussed and debated last time, and determined to be, you needed changes, we made those changes, recommended, and we approved this draft in our subcommittee. So unless anybody has anything else, I don't have anything to add.
And we, did we make a motion on the subcommittee? No, I think we simply said we couldn't move on the subcommittee, bring it here as a report from the subcommittee, endorsed by the subcommittee.
No, I think we did make a motion, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Our meeting was 30 minutes.
Quick meeting.
Yeah, and we did make a motion. I did. We did approve it.
Perfect. Yeah. So are we looking for a motion for the full commission to approve the recommendation?
Yes.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Well, we're discussing. I'm going rogue. So this is a document that we've seen in various iterations. I don't think this is a new...
Everybody pointed out the typos, and Tom had some substantive changes that we made, and I think it's ready to go.
While we're waiting for the other two members to get back to vote, I just wanted to point out that while we, assuming this passes, we will distribute it to the full board via memo. I also want to work with the chair of the Finance Health and Services Committee to get it on that agenda, similar
yeah.
to the ones. So we do a sort of an informal distribution to the board, but then we want to do actually a presentation.
Show up at the meeting, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah,
so I
when would that be? Do you know?
It would not be February. It likely would not be March because they're consuming the budget in
April.
March. So probably April. I would check with Chairman Barnett. And
okay.
I'd let you know.
I was trying to do a Jenny Center thing and vote while you were gone.
We had a forum. We thought we'd do something.
I said, would you like a break?
Well, so there's a motion on the table thanks. To approve.
We're at
Erica,
discussion.
So Tom was out talking about Obama or something.
Table and a second to approve and forward to the Board of Supervisors this recommendation as drafted on outsourcing.
Well, in that case, yeah, okay, all those in favor of the motion on the table?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. The motion passes. We will forward this to the Board of Supervisors, along with, I believe, the checklist. We could forward it separately on the other page here. We will also forward to the Board our updated summary memo as well.
Exactly. And I pointed out while you're out of the room that in addition to forwarding this to the Board sort of informally via memo, we'll also want to schedule a time when we can present it to the Finance Committee. So I'll work with this.
Also, I imagine it was said while I was out of the room, let me thank those who worked on this, in particular Mr. Whitbeck, who spent an awful lot of time looking at a very, very complicated issue and area. I know Erica has a lot of interest in this area as well, John, so you know, please make a point. Let's make a point of buttonholing here before we leave, because I know I've missed a whole lot of calls, so I'm very sorry for that. I promise we will stand here until you're finished with your questions tonight. Let's move ahead to the second item under Subcommittee 1, and I would just interject and say that I just talked to Bob Gordon. He's probably not going to be here for another 45 minutes or so, still on the Beltway, so if we come back to that fire and rescue item, we'll go ahead and address it in his absence. Scott, if you want to cover the particular item on county government fees, I know we talked about that earlier, but maybe talk about a path that you see the committee taking and addressing it.
So I think the first thing we need to do is to get the list so we understand what the universe of relevant programs is, and then we can talk through the list, maybe divvy it up for some analysis by members of the committee, and then come back and discuss what we will have found on those different programs. So that's a broad strokes path forward, but we want to get the list, understand what we're doing.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
You're awaiting confirmation from Chairman York that we're going to set aside planning, zoning, land development fees?
I got that.
Okay.
Got that.
In addition to, there's a World of Human Services fees, Parks and Rec, Child Care, there's mental health services, I'm just trying to decide what the list is.
Parks and Rec and Health, Parks and Recs and Healthcare are all definitely.
Okay.
I think I think Mr. Amberger stated it correctly before, and I had not been aware of that subsequent conversation, but I just got a message from Chairman York. That is exactly right. We don't want to take a look at the planning and zoning and all that. That's already being addressed in this place, and that's a necessary inquiry.
But otherwise, it's all these.
Okay. Then we'll give you a list of everything.
Complete competing layers here. Okay.
Did I understand that to be comprehensive? With the exception of planning, zoning, building, development, and so forth.
Correct.
All right.
It, consistent with our discussion in the subcommittee. Okay. So I think that wraps up that item for now.
Okay. Excellent. Let's come back to fire and rescue. What I'd really like to do, Tanya, if you could, and I'll help out here if I can,
sure.
Just restating what came out of the subcommittee. And I'd like to add a couple of conversations I've had in the past week with Mr. Hemstreet and Mr. Chief Brower as well about that.
Okay. We have quite the discussion at our committee meeting on fire and rescue funding and the prospects of changing versus keeping, recommending rather, changing versus keeping the structure of their funding. I think that the budget request is going to have an additional $500,000 in it for fire and rescue. So we are trying to figure out a recommendation on the funding formula. And with that, Tom, if you
want to
suggest what we've been talking about.
I think Dan brought up the comment last in the subcommittee meeting that it would be highly difficult, I'm trying to put words in your mouth, Dan, but certainly highly difficult, I'll say, for us to take on a funding formula for FY14 in such a short period of time. And yet we said we wanted to try to find some way to address the apparent disparity that exists there today. I had a conversation last week with Mr. Chief Brower and a separate conversation with Mr. Hemstreet about this very issue, asking them how might we be constructive here. I think all of us might. I certainly have some concern that the model that was suggested, I think the excellent model that was suggested by Percival, there could be 20 other models. There could be all sorts of models. And should we be indeed trying to weigh in on every single allocation and perhaps even provoking every single company in Loudoun County? The suggestion that was made separately by both of these individuals and understanding our desire to do something constructive is leave the $5.3 million allocation as it is. That is the status quo. Don't try to change that in this fiscal year. That's going forward. Don't open that back up again. In other words, keep everybody whole. But focus instead on the new money. This is nobody's money right now. Focus on the $500,000 plus the balance of the money from Nearsville. So we're going to say 750, whatever, 800,000, assuming the Nearsville vote goes as is currently being recommended by our commission. So focus on the allocation of that money and then develop some criteria by which that money might be allocated. For example, 24/7 companies might not receive any of it. For example, some other criteria. Each of them separately felt that it would be far more difficult to challenge that since it is new money than it would be for folks, and indeed every single company would come out and argue, you're messing with my allocation. All of a sudden, we're now addressing every single fire company. I thought that was good counsel, I'm not asking for a vote from the commission tonight, but I would just throw it back to the subcommittee and say, maybe you consider that.
Okay, it's $121,540 that's allocated to each company now.
What? Well, it's actually a lot. It's that bigger number, which ranges from 121,000 to 700,000 or 800,000. I mean, that range, but we not touch that.
That's the variable formula.
Yeah, that's fine. So that we would look at the actual, we would come back with two recommendations out of this subcommittee. One, the methodology for addressing the formula, not necessarily the new formula itself, but how one addresses it, the criteria that would go into it, and two, how we address FY14. And that's actually fairly urgent because we'd like to come back and suggest. I mean, Tim has already said, look, you can actually come back almost at the last minute with this because we know the money. That money is what's up there. The question is, how is it divided up? But if we were to come back at the last minute with a recommendation to change somebody's funding with virtually no notice, I would argue that that's really not fair notice on our part. That truly would be failure, I think, on our part to give notice of even of the board to give a notice of a significant change in funding. However, if we're only addressing the limited amount of money, that's all new money. That's up for grabs.
Right. The amount, I believe that he said he's proposing in 2014 is $5,879,000.
But that includes the $500,000.
That does include $500,000.
And it does not include the balance of the municipal money.
Right. That's the obvious word. Okay, we'll take that back to subcommittee too.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? Dan, is that a reasonable?
No, that makes perfect sense. It's it's a good balance, and the only caution I guess I would have would be that whatever allocation we do for that new money, we make it clear that it should not be seen as a precedent, that it's really two separate issues. The funding formula going forward, which we'll look at for 2015, and how we're going to divvy up the current cash.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Let me just recap, if I may, before we go to the last item here. The ongoing matters, because this does bear on our calendar, the ongoing matters for the subcommittees. We didn't really, Scott, touch on the issue of shared services. I know James isn't here tonight. My understanding is that...
We talked about it in the subcommittee.
But tonight, I mean tonight on the shared services issue. Notwithstanding our failure to make any progress, and I think Supervisor Bonner was very passionate and very articulate about that, and honestly very critical of the school system in their failure to work with us in a forthright manner. I think with his leadership of the joint committee now from the board side, I suspect we're going to see some significant activism on his part to try to bring Superintendent Hattrick and the LCPS staff to the table. So whereas we haven't been able to do much in the last couple of months, I am hopeful that, and by the way, that committee is not meeting until, it's not meeting this month. When is it meeting?
I think it's March. It's the first meeting.
Yeah, I think it's March. So they're a ways off from their first meeting. But it is an issue that remains on the table for Subcommittee 1. We're clearly going to miss the budget window. But I think to the extent that we can at least get LCPS to the table, that should remain an objective of the Government Reform Commission. And we shouldn't just walk away from this and allow them to win with their non-cooperative stance. So that issue is out there. The second issue is the issue of the cost and the cost of services. And Scott, is there anything else, or John, anything else right now that you can think of that's on your subcommittee's table?
We just have the outsourcing was done. We had the we kind of ran into a brick wall with the shared services. So I think that's, if not concluded, it's on hiatus.
It's certainly quiescent for the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've moved to start talking about the government fees, government services fees, and it would be a good idea at our next meeting to do some scoping. But I one thing I was going to probably ask you offline was, will we have another type of meeting like we had in the very beginning where we kind of came up with ideas, or are we going to just take them as they come? Because right now, once we finish the government services, that's all we have.
Let me come back to that.
Okay.
I want to bring that up because that gets to our agenda. Okay. I would say, as I'm trying to reflect before, maybe not so well, I don't think the shared services issue is over. I think the expectation of the Board of Supervisors is still that we're going to bring LCPS to the table. Maybe we won't get to the point in the life of this commission actually coming up with tangible recommendations, but I think it is still a noble and reasonable objective to have LCPS come to the table, bring their areas of examination to the table, because they have even failed to do that. So now that might not happen until March. It may be a ways off before that actually happens, but I think that's the direction I'm sensing from the Board of Supervisors. They don't want the DRC to give up on this. I am not going to be eternally optimistic on this, however. I think we haven't seen much, but I don't want us to pull back either on this, because then, frankly, LCPS gets what they wanted, which is to marginalize us. But I agree, right now the other issue would be your front and center issue. And then on Subcommittee 2, your front and center issue is fire and rescue.
If I can just comment, though, because we talked about this in our last subcommittee meeting with respect
to
shared services. And essentially, the conclusion that we came to and the statement that I made to the Board of Supervisors when we presented them on the 16th is that realistically, for us to be successful in this effort, requires political will from both bodies.
Correct.
And there has to be a clear mandate, clear charge for this effort to be successful. So, you know, absent such a mandate and absent a clear expression of such political will, which the superintendent must abide by, there is nothing for us to do. So I don't think it's a matter of giving up. I don't think it's a matter of you know, walking away from the issue. If anything, perhaps what we do is we make a recommendation as the Board of Supervisors to engage with the school board to create a structure by which shared services can be seriously, you know, discussed. And when such has happened, we're ready to attack it. But I don't think we should just kind of pretend that, it's out there.
Well, I think it's out there until the joint subcommittee meets, the newly configured joint subcommittee meets and decides how it wants to handle that particular issue, among others. And I'm suggesting at this point no action, whether we call it a hiatus, whatever. I mean, we haven't had any action on this for a month or two. Everyone's exasperated. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to walk away from it, but I think we should take our guidance by what the joint subcommittee does, the school subcommittee, rather, the school's committee does. In terms of any, you know, further work they ask of us. I just don't know how far that's going to go. I completely agree with you, Scott. Unless there's more direct engagement from the school board, nothing's going to happen. Subcommittee 2 then has fire and rescue. Subcommittee 2 has inspector.
Fire and rescue funding. We put the rest forward already.
And inspector general.
Yes.
We have in front of us, and actually, have you passed this out, I think, the schedule, the slightly revised schedule. You received one earlier, maybe a few days ago, a week ago, and this is a slight change. The only change here is on the commission meeting itself, because the original one had everything all bunched together. So I changed just the February, March, and May meetings, so May wasn't right after Memorial Day, and we didn't have a commission meeting immediately followed by two subcommittee meetings on the very next week. So we would therefore look at, and this is, as I understand it, agreed by both subcommittees, that they would both meet that first week in each month, one on a Tuesday, one on a Thursday, and then approximately 2 weeks later, almost 3 weeks later, we have the full commission meeting, and then we have, again, a little bit of time after that full commission meeting for the next subcommittee meeting. I would ask that this model, which is really memorializes the concept we put in place last month, we move ahead with this model, believing that we can complete our work in the May-June timeframe, absent some new issue coming to us. I'm not aware of the board at this point thinking of any new issues to come to us. John, to your earlier question, then, it does raise the question, should we indeed hold another public input session? That would invite new issues to come to us. Is our objective here to bring closure to what's on our table now in the next few months, or is our objective to open this back up again? And I'd put that to the commission. You know, what do you all want to do? Mr. Amber?
My comment would be that at this point in time, I believe that we either need to get specific or we need to bring our work to a close. I think we've done a pretty high-level review of the major issues that were brought in front of us. One reality is that we can only go so deep into some of those issues. And if you talk about outsourcing and privatization of services, for example, you know, we could spend a tremendous amount of time and effort and energy on that one vector, you know, with the efforts of the entire commission. So I think either we need to now say we're going to take a very deep dive into some specific thing that we think is pressing and urgent, or as in terms of a high-level review of the issues that were brought to us by the public input, the issues that were put before us in front of the board, I think that we should bring the work to a close if we don't find something to dive into specifically.
Any other views on this? I suspect that even if we were asked to re-engage in some modest way on shared services, we can bring all of this work to closure in the spring. I don't know if it's 3 more months of meetings, 4 more months of meetings, what have you. But my suggestion is that we try to do that. And again, unless the Board of Supervisors tasks us with another matter, they had intended this. I think they believe they intend this to be a commission that completes its work by the middle of next year. But it strikes me, I'm sorry, next year, this year. This year, by the middle of this year. And I do believe that with the work that's on our plate today, we can. I would just suggest, therefore, that the subcommittees effectively complete your work. You don't need to have a subcommittee meeting. Some of this work, except for the FY14 funding issue, is not so time sensitive. I would be actually surprised if, for example, on the fees, we're going to be able to get something done in time for this budget cycle, but maybe we can. I don't know. I think I'll leave that to the subcommittees. The IG issue, I don't know that that's something that necessarily is going to be teed up for this budget cycle where we actually have an appropriation for it. But if you guys think that we can do that, if we can move that quickly, terrific. That might actually bring our work to closure earlier. So all I'm getting at is we have markers out here for commission meetings, we have markers out here for subcommittee meetings. If for some reason a subcommittee completes its work, don't feel like you have to have a meeting or find new issues to take up. We'll simply have a main commission meeting. With that in mind, I would hope that we try to work diligently to not string these issues out so that we can bring the entirety of this work to closure in the spring. Mr. Pierce.
Yeah, going back to the issue with the LCPS, and if I was to guess what may actually end up occurring, may go more towards the recommendation that was in here, is the board and they may put together their own body from where each side will appoint people and charge them with full cooperation to dig into it. You know, if they give it back to us somehow, that's fine, but if not, I think we laid out another good option for them to address it.
So Tom, in summary, we've finished with 7 topics and we've got 3 currently alive with potential 4.
Yeah. I think IG is not all that simple. I think we're going to find nuances here. There's a dollar commitment. I think it was raised here, the cost effectiveness of such an initiative. I think on these various fees and such, I think that's actually quite complex. That will take several months of work is my expectation there. And fire and rescue is always complex, but I do hope, Tanya, that we'll be able to actually complete that work by the end of February.
We'll make that our goal.
Any other thoughts? Let me, if I may, ask for our new members of the commission coming onto the commission here. Does this look like a good charge for you and work that you hope to be and look forward to being engaged in? Each of you has kind of coming to the main commission meetings, but also aligned with one of the subcommittees. So, Bill with subcommittee 2, and Dan with subcommittee 1. So I hope you'll engage 100% on this fees issue. That would be in particular something. Love to get your input on. Have you work on?
Yeah, look forward to hearing more about it.
With that, Mr. Turner.
Did I understand this is the new revised schedule?
Yes. It is consistent with what we were looking at last month. The only change is on the full commission meeting. It's just 1 week earlier instead of last week of the month. So with that, I would ask if we have any other business tonight. Yes.
Please help finish the sushi and the vegetables.
Is there any other business tonight? Hearing no other business, may I entertain a motion to Mr. Hamburger, second Mr. Matthews, all those in favor.
Aye.
You're adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I will not be at the February meeting. I will be out of.